the past 2 weeks, I actually went back and listened to the Revelation series.
Uh-huh.
I personally, for the first time, found out what was said. All right? So it was quite revelation, hearing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did chapter 23. That took all week or 4 days. So one question that came up pretty quickly, lampstands. Now, I'm assuming that you never got lampstands asked, answered properly. But Ion answers it in the first couple of sessions. It is the lampstands represent the levels of heaven. Does that sound familiar to you? Am I on the right track? What was your issue with the lampstands?
Bullshit!
Who's that, Corbin?
Yeah.
Or...
That was Corbin.
He doesn't feel
Corbin's disconnected.
Tourette.
He's not even here. Corbin was here, but so I don't know how. Oh, no, he is
I'm here.
That was Corbin. I just muted him. No, Brian. So I thought that's fucking Brian's been asking about fucking lampstands, and it was one of the first things defined. Is that your experience, or was I in a parallel world with a parallel
world? No, Bob.
Okay.
It's not.
Explain.
No, I. What do you mean? Explain. The levels of heaven are not the lampstands that are positioned around the altar before the throne. It's different.
Okay. What were they? Because Ian did say that. I mean, I wouldn't have noticed it otherwise. They did say it. I'll try to find it in my notes early that the lampstands represent the levels of heaven. Now, it might have been a one-time sentence that everybody missed. But what do you mean they're not in the position? They're not in the throne position? That's not what you're referring to?
No, I'm saying the lampstands. Now, in chapter 4, when you go through the throne of God, you got all they say is, you know, they talk about the seven lamps are burning before the throne.
Right.
All right? Now, and then it actually wasn't until, you know, when Sheila was doing the painting, that he got specific with the lampstands, how the lampstands were positioned around the altar in front of the throne. Okay? Now, he did that for a reason, because it starts getting to the application of the lampstands, what's happening with the lampstands and the oil and the altar and, you know, the blood. Yeah, it's a whole big thing.
Okay,
with the seven layers of heaven. That
okay,
has to do
that.
With the seven seals, the trumpets, the vials.
Okay, good.
Those are
so you're
awesome.
Right. I have in my notes that 50 minutes and 47 seconds into chapter 4, I have the lampstands equal the seven layers or levels or tiers in the dome bubble of heaven. So you admit that said in chapter 4, and you're trying to explain that something happened later. A new definition in reference to Sheila's painting. That's what you're saying, right?
Concerning the lampstand specifically. Now, look, I mean, it can get complex, because if you look at each lampstand, the lamps sit on a stand, and if you look on the painting, there are seven layers to the stand, you know, the circles that go around, the things around, and you got the circle, you got a light circle, a dark circle, light, it goes light, dark, and if you count them, there's seven, and those represent, on each stand, there's actually a layer of heaven. It has all seven layers of heaven within each stand. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
In other words, each stand, like the first, you could say the first lampstand has the first seal, the first trumpet, the first vial, the judgments. But I mean, that's something that should be developed.
Yeah, each lampstand is the environment with the churches, the tiers, the seals, the vials, all the sevens are on one lampstand. Because I do have a note here from, this would be from chapter 23, supplement C. I write that the lampstand is a pun, and that's what you're saying. There's many meanings in the lampstand.
Oh, yeah. It gets, I mean, it was like what I said in the beginning. This stuff, the symbolism gets, it gets wild, it gets crazy, and it goes back and forth, and it loops.
That's
right,
what Vince Wake is a training for, that kind of understanding the Bible. It is a training.
You know, And even in each layer, if you go through each layer, they touch on, like, they touch on the physical, then they touch on the non-physical, they touch on the labyrinth of the mind, and then, you know, and then they, it's like, and then when you get, let's say, to the, what is it, the fifth layer, or the fourth and fifth layer, it's more of a summary of that, and then you get to the sixth and seventh. But they have to do with the physical, the non-physical, the labyrinth of the mind. If you run those, remember how he talked about running the seven layers across the first seal, first trumpet, You start running those across, you'll actually start seeing a pattern. They say, look, okay, so each one they're talking about the physical, the non-physical, the labyrinth of the mind, and then the next they do it again, but it's a different. It has a little bit different process, a little bit different application, but they're still covering all of those areas.
So okay, just a matter very good. Let me interject here. So what I got from the first definition of lampstand was the levels of heaven, and the Book of Revelation is about the levels of heaven, which become the same definition as McLuhan's medium. It's an environment, and there were like seven or six environments, levels of heaven, that the little man encountered and had projections and problems with, if they weren't ascended. So it's right to say the lampstand is a medium, is an environment, has many levels. I don't think this is what we're saying tonight has ever been said before, Brian. You know what I mean? You used to say, well, what's a lampstand? Yeah. Because you would notice the differences in meaning, right? So then now you figured out that it's that each one is an environment. There's seven environments. And that's really key to getting what the Book of Revelation is about. It's about the seven environments, and you break it down into seven churches, seven thunders, seven vials, seven judgments, seven trumpets, and seven whatever else I left out. And so you're saying the lampstand becomes one of the symbols and yet flips into being the whole environment. So what was it? What does it become around the throne again? What particular aspect? Does it contain all the environments? I guess it would, because the person is looking at it from the throne. So what is the difference you're saying in Sheila's painting?
What I'm saying is that it's way more than just the seven layers of heaven.
Well, I mean by layers of heaven, as he first defined it, as an environment, which includes all the sevens in Ginny's chart, right? And so that makes each lampstand a pun, multi-level thing, which is what James Joyce showed. So we agree on that, right? Now, is there a limited number of meanings for Sheila's painting around the concept of lampstand?
Well, I'll put it to you like this. There are different levels of meaning. Because look, when you go back and you really get around, some of this comes, we got some of it from Rewrite, because we're going to go back to what the hell is, what's being said, what's being laid out in the Bible, what's the clues to get back to God? Okay, well, what does that mean, getting back to God? Well, guess what we're going to do? We're going to get into chemistry. And you go from the atomic level to the molecular level to the cellular level, and expands all the way out to what people see in their world, their outside.
So that is the angel diagram. The angel diagram shows many of the levels, right, for each lampstand. Like Fluffy asked here, do the seven lampstand represent seven amino acids? They probably do on one level, right, on one aspect.
Well, it was the color of the horse. Remember, the color of the horses were specific to. And see, that's another thing. People, I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. They talk about, it's the four horsemen of the apocalypse, right? Well, first of all, they don't know what the fuck apocalypse is, or they're getting it confused with, you know, the Armageddon or whatever. But, you know, and then Ion, and he didn't say it, he actually said it in Revelations. He says when you went through Revelations and we were doing the first four seals and those horses and the colors, you know, the white horse, and the red horse, the black horse, and he says the horse wasn't so significant, but the color is. The color is significant, and I'm thinking, okay, it's significant, but then he never said what it was or what it, and we didn't get that until Rewrite.
And you mean we did find out? We did find out and rewrite what the significance of color was?
Yes, there are amino acids, and it gave them amino acids. And I don't have the notes.
It's
I don't know what they
acids.
Are.
Okay.
Right.
So I make color very important. That's the first category on my tiny note chart. So color is the chemical level, or would you say it is the amino acid level?
Is that the next?
Well, I mean, you could start with amino acid, but you can break those amino acids down into you're going to get clear down into the atomic because, you know, he'll get specific about specific gravity or atomic weight and then you're going to get into bonding, you know, the covalent bonding. And then, this is the application of what's going on with those lampstands.
Yeah.
See, what's happening with those lampstands, they're taking this, you know, from the molecular to the chemical and the different bonding and this, it's like a whole transformation to get a god that is running on a single double helix stand to 144,000. But to do that, the activation process, there's this a specific application that happens. First, you have to know what it is, and then you have to know exactly the interaction and the application to, you know, make this. I was thinking about this with the altar. That's what it is. You're altering. I don't even want to use the word little man, but a god that's.
Okay. What do you think of this idea? And Carolyn, you might be interested. When you take the RNA drops and the REMAG and your body starts going through changes and so-called detoxification, Brian, would you agree that is going through one of the levels of heaven in the book of Revelation? You're going through an environmental accumulation that you're purging or altering. The struggle of that chemically is a level of heaven. Would you agree with that, Brian?
No, I wouldn't say it's... I wouldn't categorize it to a single level of heaven. Those aspects are going to be in all of the levels of heaven.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But you understand that when one's reading the book of Revelation, you read about levels of heaven, it's talking on five, six, seven levels, your chemistry, your psyche, all the different things, and your environment. What amazed me going through the thing was I had forgotten how specific Ion was about which chapter was about our cold fusion or which chapter was about our RNA drops or the eye block. That was pretty fun hearing that and noting it and finding out where it is. Now, how many times have you heard through? Five times? Is that 10 times? Have you listened to the Revelation?
I don't know. Bits and pieces. I mean, sometimes, I don't know, but I've been through them.
10 times anyways for some parts, right?
Well, maybe some parts, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe not that many, but yeah, many times, certain parts.
Are you impressed with how the accuracy of the 911, the dust falling on people, the particular examples of that day that are in I don't know, chapter 19 or something? Did you like that kind of stuff?
Well, yeah, it was very revealing. 'Cause one of the things that I liked about that was. He talked about, and see, you know, we're going to get into this linear progression stuff, which isn't going to serve anybody, but because you were ranting and raving about how was anybody supposed to get the Bible, and then when 9/11, the part with 9/11 come up, it was like that event had to take place before anyone could actually, before, you know, the, quote, the Bible or what was going to happen could be revealed.
Yeah. Right, and I was just going to bring that up. Do you understand that the New York City was here before Babylon? Do you get that from what I am saying?
Well, New York City was Babylon.
Right, and it was before the Middle East Babylon.
Persia.
That's a great percept. I'm just saying it now to intrigue people if they should get the Revelation series because of these kind of interesting perceptions that New York City seemed to be, even though everything is in all times, non-time, and there's now, it's interesting how Ion shows how the book of Revelation is the beginning point. It's before anything that happened in B.C. And part of that is New York City in 911. that we are living in a weird place when we experience 911. It's not
right.
It's not 2001.
So, and even before Revelations, the way Ion, you know, even back in cash flow, that was the question I always had. Because he talked about Genesis, hasn't happened yet. The dinosaurs haven't happened yet. The fucking pyramids that you see, right, on TV, they haven't been built yet. And all, and then, you know, then we got into Revelation, because that was a question that I had. I said, okay, well, where the fuck am I now? If all of this stuff hasn't happened yet, where's this place, right?
You were on September 10th, before the 11th, because then you read through the book, and then you experienced September 11th in the book of Revelation, and that meant you were around just before it, because you experienced it. It actually changed your life. That was a big mental deprogram for you, personally, 911.
Well, in a sense, it was a delay, but it was I would say it was the apocalypse for me.
Right,
it was
and
my
that
awakening.
Led you here. That led you to find them.
Right. Yeah. Exactly, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting to read how everything spirals out of what we call New York City when we want to make a fake beginning, and that explains why Ion was always saying the wires came from Grand Central Station. Because it had to come from New York City, right? New York City is there.
Yeah, what else is there that he talked a lot about? You know, when you talk about all of the kings committing fornication with the harlot.
In New York City, yeah.
Talking about all of the nations. And what is that? In the United Nations, isn't that?
Yes, he talks about that.
Yeah.
And let me say this, Brian. So it's a great perceptual warp that Ion does, because the more you try to get, quote, your head around the idea that New York City was here before everything, that is a way of realizing you are in a timeless, non-time zone now. It's a way of getting you to realize you're God already.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to get rid of some of these concepts that makes you think that you're here, in 2015.
It's just another point of... Because Ion has always done, you know, Ion's had this, you know, there's no fucking time. And this linear fucking progression time shit it's a false premise, and it will not serve you if you're stuck there. You're just not, it's not going to serve you. And he's always trying to get you out of this linear, get out of the linear progression stuff. And see, that was the thing about Revelations when they talked about 9/11, and for fuck's sake, the whole United States. You know, when they talk about the wilderness and being cast in the bottomless pit, and he says, "Well, that was a fucking portal." And he says, "This new world, right? That's what it was. It was a new world. It fucking comes through us. It's come through a portal, right?"
That's right. The United States people is another world. It's not connected to the European world or the Asian world. And the Chinese seem to have the best handle on that. They understood that.
Right.
The Chinese understood that about America. It was a hallucinated environment that just popped up. I mean, maybe no one, they couldn't find it until somebody found it. It's called Columbus. And before that, it wasn't there.
Yeah. Well, see, there was a great part in Revelations. He talked about the city, that great city, being, you know, because it had to do with Babylon and the great city, and they're specifically talking about New York, and then, you know, beyond New York, the United States, they talked about that, you know, it was the nation that, how would the phrase go, that was,
and not,
is, and was not.
Not, and then was
right.
Again. Yeah.
Right. But the thing I liked about it was, it was just another thing to get you out of the time business, because they're saying, oh, wait a minute, John, this Bible was written 2,000 years ago, and they're talking about the United States and New York City and the United Nations that have only been around for a couple hundred years? Yeah.
Yeah, it's describing the dust that fell that day.
Right, and I remember even in the first one, because you and Ion just had this big fucking battle in the beginning, because you were trying so hard to get this linear progression down. And Ion said, this is not it's not linear.
I was trying to get the grammar right, the punctuation. Maybe that's trying to make it one level of meaning. But we eventually realized, for me, the thing is a collage, like Finnegan's Wake. But I didn't think Ian was doing good enough in explaining that. He was just saying this and that and not accounting for the discrepancies. So I harangued him about the discrepancies. I even gave up in the first session with Ed. I said, that's it. We'll never get anywhere if I keep arguing over the grammar. Mm-hmm. So that is a part of the print effect, but not just the linearity. I think I understood the no time thing, having been with Finnegan's Wake and Zappa for years. But the I just thought it was ridiculously written. It just wasn't any proper reference, like he did this. And then even now listening, I went through chapter 23. Ion could be criticized as saying arbitrarily this he is that, but then the he means something else to the next few words down the road. He can justify that, but it's going to take a mind's sort of relaxing, allowing lot to accept the jumping about that Ion makes.
Well, or the point is to get your mind out of it. And the point can be, you're the God, so you can say who the he is and who the he is over here and over there, and does it serve you individually in your world? And if it does, great. If it doesn't, then,
right,
do something different.
So is Ion the thermometer? We check in with Ion to see the rabbit holes we've gotten ourselves into that we didn't notice. Because you're always creating your own world. What is not being of benefit to you? That would be the value of Ion, checking like a thermometer where you are.
The consensus survey.
Right, and you assume not other people, not consensus of other people, but Ion's a group mind or group something, group communicator. If you want to call that a consensus. And you also got to get to the point where you don't rely on Ion, but when you're feeling it.
Yeah. Here was the thing. I don't know if you got this when you went back and re-listened to Revelations, and not just Revelations, but part of it had to do with rewrite. And part of it is just Ion, any time that Ion was speaking publicly, was that what I got was that Revelations is the creation of God.
You mean, remember, it's the book of Revelation singular. You mean those 22, 23 chapters when you say Revelation?
Yes.
That is the communication of God, of us.
The creation. It's the creation of God. Now here's the thing, because somebody's going to say, okay, well, wait. That means that there was a beginning. Well, look, once the fall happened, once the separation of power happened, you can say there's a beginning, and that's only the beginning of the separation of power. And then from that, you go from separating yourself from your power to getting back, and that's what I'm saying. It's Revelations is the creation of God, meaning it's after you separate yourself from your power, Revelations is all about you getting back.
Getting back, right. And you retrieve your godhood, your God's reality.
Yeah,
right. And so that is the only process that's important. And
that's
therefore,
the beginning.
The beginning. That's the beginning point, and then you begin to experience whatever that worlds are that is the Old Testament, and you end up in Genesis. I wonder if you can go straight from Book of Revelation to Genesis and not have to go through all the other chapters. Has anybody ever asked that? I don't think so. Why can't the person be in Genesis as soon as he's come to chapter 22?
I suppose some can. It depends on if you're on the Emmaus Road or the Damascus Road.
So the Old Testament has probably every human level of heaven story, anecdote, difficulty going, right? It's a great encyclopedia of all the human condition problems.
Well, yeah, to me, Revelations is like a summary or the cliff notes. It's the beginning, but it's a summary of the rest of the Bible.
Yes, you got the general levels of heaven, and then the Bible, the Old Testament, gives all these anecdotal, multifarious
Right, you get more. You get much more specific.
Yeah. If situational ethics.
Yeah. And like I said, a lot of the stuff it's happening, but it doesn't pertain to. I mean, it doesn't have to pertain every single, trouble and trial and trauma.
You don't have to have that. The only book worth knowing is the Book of Revelation, in the end, to get the point.
I wonder if, because it is a vision and it's told to be a dream that John had, but it's not the same John from the Gospels. And I wonder if Ion would say it's the same as the vision that Ezekiel had, or the same kind of vision.
Oh, yeah. It happens with... John, the Revelator, has the vision way back there. There's a statement, Moses was before John and after John. So John interfaced with some early phase of Moses. He was not on the Isle of Patmos after Jesus' crucifixion.
He was
back 5,000 years before. So he actually was the first, not
around
it, later.
Around Ezekiel. What? Around Ezekiel.
Yeah, Ezekiel and Daniel, they have aspects of the seeing the big picture.
Well, Daniel, it says Daniel all the time. Daniel was having, he would have the visions. Ezekiel, it was what Ezekiel saw. And John was told all this by an angel. See, God sent an angel. It says right in the beginning of Revelation, God sent an angel, and then the angel dictated it to John, and then John wrote it down.
Right. Now, here's a thought, Brian. Right when man started to fall, when we fell into Samaria and those early countries, right after the fall, or around the fall, or not as fallen as the later fall, we might want to imagine John being back there when a person could have access to the whole story that was going to unfold. If we put him way back there, that's a pretty neat image.
Right, but let's see. What I try to do all the time is I just practice not putting it into.
Yeah, you just keep them in the timeless, the non-timeless.
Right.
I like
thinking that fucking John is getting the message from an angel right now. I mean, it is right now, and yet somehow we have this book that's quote somehow 2,000 years old.
Well, no, right. If you're going to use time, you could say John hasn't happened yet.